Hello. Welcome back to the Naked Thoughts Podcast. I'm your Sienna. It's been like almost a year since I've dropped an episode. But I'm back, baby. I'm back. I just woke up. To be completely candid with you, it is 9:22 in the mañana, and I'm sleepy. I still got my sleep voice. But today's April 5th, so it is my last day being a 24-year-old young woman, which is crazy. I have been through a lot in the past year, and I wanted to take some time to kind of reflect on it, and I thought, what better way to do that than with an episode, because this is something that I've loved doing, and I thought I'd get back into it, so here I am. You get to hear about my year. We're gonna go through it kind of roughly month by month and talk a little bit about what happened and where I've been and what I've been doing and where I want to go and all those things. I think the last episode I dropped was like August or something. Nah, not even that. Could have been May. I don't know, it doesn't matter, but April, a year ago, like 2 days ago, I viewed the apartment that I moved into, and that's crazy. I loved that apartment. It was so cool, and I'm so grateful that I got to live there. Being like 2 minutes from the beach was such a surreal experience. It opened up a lot of room for healing and just having that space away from everyone really was a great opportunity to find a little bit more of myself. It allowed me to find a little bit more of myself. It's hard to know who you are when you are constantly being influenced by people. I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible, but we pick up on things that other people do or other people think or other people say, especially when we love them. And it makes us change who we are just in general. And that's not good or bad. It just is. And so being out on the beach was a really cool moment for me to be like, okay, well, who am I without the influence of others? How do I want to live if it were solely up to me? And it's a really cool thing to be able to do. And I'm really grateful that I could do this in one of the most expensive states in America. I was able to live alone, and I'm really, really proud of that. And it was something I'll remember forever and cherish forever. May, I was in a show. I played Kathy in Singing in the Rain. You guys probably heard a little bit about that. May was crazy. That show run was long and dramatic and emotionally draining. And it was 4 weekends of like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows, I think is how it went. We had like 4 shows every week, which is a lot when you were like also working full time, right? Because we weren't getting paid to do that shit. So it was a lot of hard work. And I was going through a breakup while simultaneously like falling in love. It was weird. And I guess like it just came with a lot of drama. So it was odd to move. But that month taught me so much about grace and patience and love and allowing, the art of allowing, man. Like, I've never been one to bite my tongue very often. I love to speak my mind, even if it's gonna make someone upset. It's probably my favorite moment to speak my mind. But I was not in a position to speak my mind, truly. And I felt a lot of, like, I felt a lot of feelings that made me feel like I didn't have the right to speak my mind. Excuse me again. And so I learned that sometimes saying nothing is saying something. And that was a really good thing for me. And I grew a lot from that whole experience in the month of May. It was just, as bad as it was really good in the long run for me and my growth. May, June was fun as fuck. All of the summer, honestly, it was so fun. I learned how to skimboard. I learned a lot about myself through, like, psychedelics, and I spent time with friends, and I went and explored this island and had beautiful experiences at, like, summer solstice parade, and fucking, that was like a highlight of a trip. It was so cool. Like, we're on this island in the middle of the Puget Sound, and, like, there's a summer solstice parade, and these people are dressed up like gnomes and fairy creatures, and they're running around praising the summer, and, like, it was so cool. It was so fucking cool. Like, fuck the 4th of July. It's all about the summer solstice parade. Honestly. And over the summer, I, like, fell super deeply in love with life and with a person and with myself, and, like, it was a time in my life that, even honestly the whole year, like, it felt like 5 years because so much happened, but it also felt so quick because I was constantly doing something and I was having so much fun. The fall came and I went to concerts. I ate good food. I drank a lot of wine. I was working on an EP through the entirety of the year. Like, the summer and the fall really ramped up production in that sense. And that was really cool. I spent a lot of time in the studio. I spent a lot of time in really cool studios. And learned a lot music-wise, which was awesome. I wrote a lot of my book. That was really cool. So the book is, like, fully written now. I just need to draw, do all the art, the illustrating, and get it published, and then it'll be for your guys' consumption. The winter was cool. Spent my first winter with my love, and we had a really good time. I learned a lot about family, and I just had a lot of fun. The winter, like, November, December, which really isn't winter, but, like, that holiday season, that holiday stretch, I spent a lot of time with family, more time than I have years prior, which was cool. And then April. What the fuck am I saying? January, February, really hard months here where I live because of the weather. It was hard. It was hard mentally. And hard, like, at work. Work is super slow, which makes the days super long, and got a little down in the dumps, but we pulled ourselves out. And then March came. Whew. March was a pain in my ass. I was moving because I had to be out of my apartment March 31st. So I was moving into a new apartment, which was 30 minutes away from my other apartment, which is a bitch. For anyone who doesn't know, moving kind of sucks in that aspect. and I've only done it like once in my life, so to do it this time was like a real move. It was odd. It was hard getting rid of shit because you don't have space in your new spot, or you know, and organizing everything, making sure you don't lose anything. It was a lot. It was a lot of stress while I was also prepping for a show that I had with a band. And as far as music goes, like I'm grateful for everybody that helped, and like my partner helped so much, but it was a bitch because I'm making the set list, organizing the people, organizing the schedules, organizing the gig itself, and organizing like sourcing equipment and all that stuff. And so it was a learning experience to me where like, oh, I can't do everything by myself. Like, whether I'd love to or not, I need help. And so that was a good moment for me to kind of learn like, hey, put your pride aside. It's okay to ask for help. And then also in the month of March, my grandfather took a really bad turn health-wise. So all this stuff was just like crumbling. I felt like everything was crumbling around me. I was having issues at work. All this stuff, like, it was a lot. And then, yeah, a couple days ago, my grandpa passed. And we went to his burial, like me and my dad did. And I learned a lot from his death as well. One main thing I learned is, if you have shit you want to give to people, give it to them while you're alive and not while. And don't, like, expect people to give it to them when you're dead, because when someone dies, people come out of the woodwork and act entitled sometimes. And everybody wants something from someone who's no longer here, right? Because they have no say in it. So it was a weird experience. Like, it was sad because all of those things made it less about the death of my grandfather and more about his material stuff, which sucked because that makes it hard to mourn, you know, and to feel grief because you feel more anger toward the living. But we made it through. His funeral was something, and it was honestly really interesting. I'll be candid. I don't need to sugarcoat shit. I don't need to hide anything. I don't care. This is my life. I don't know that side of my family very well. Like, I love my dad, but he doesn't talk about it. He had a rough childhood. He doesn't talk about his sisters. He doesn't talk about his parents very much. He doesn't talk about his grandparents very much. And through my grandpa dying, I got a lot closer with my dad, whether he would believe it or not. Like, it was one of the first times in my life that he consistently showed a lot of emotion, a lot of, like, and that's not to say that my dad's ever been closed off. No, he was a very loving man, a very loving, kind man. My whole life, he would give anything that he could, whenever he could. And I love him to death for it. But he never showed emotion as much beyond that. He didn't often show frustration. He didn't often show anger. He didn't often show sadness or even sickness. I think my dad's only been sick like 3 times the entire time I've been alive. And one time he almost died. But like, he just doesn't show a lot. And through my grandpa's passing, it was a lot of me spending one-on-one time with him. And we got to talk more about his family. I got to learn about his family. And it allows me to understand him more, why he is the way he is, and why maybe he keeps that space between them. And that's something that was hard for me to understand for a long time, because you have this whole side of your family that you just don't get to know. And it feels like you're being cut off. It felt like I was being, shorted. It felt like, I don't know. My family life is super weird in that way. I've always felt, although my family is quite large, it feels like it's just me and my mom and my two brothers and my mom's mom. Like, that's how it's always felt. And not always. When we were young, we were close with my mom's sister, and she has like four kids. And we would go to their house all the time. And then one day it just stopped. My brothers kept going, but I stopped going. Not that I wasn't allowed to, but I wasn't allowed to go. And then my relationship with my cousins dwindled. And then it was like I didn't know them. And that's kind of how it feels right now. Like, I don't get invited to the baby showers. I don't get invited to a lot of the birthdays. And it hurts because I'm the youngest in the family of, like, our generation of all the cousins. It's like I was the last to come. And you would think that I'd be like spoiled and that everybody, you know, love me and take care of me, all that shit, because I'm the youngest. Those are like the stereotypes that come with being the youngest. But I never, like, it wasn't necessarily completely like that. And that's not to say that they didn't love me. You know, this is obviously, family is always a very layered thing. It's very complicated. It's never simple. And so I'm saying all this with a grain of salt. You know, none of this is to say that my family doesn't love me or that, you know, the ones that do, I know they do. But our families just show it in such a weird way, in a way that's made me feel really like alone often and abandoned, I guess. Example, I have 6 siblings on my dad's side. He had a wife prior and he had 6 kids. I remember 3 of them because they lived with us when I was really young. And then when I turned like 6, they left. And I think I've talked about this a little bit, but when you have these siblings that you slept in the same room with, that took care of you, they made you fucking PB&J sandwiches. Like, I was little and I looked up to them, and then they were just gone. And no one told me why. And no one told me where they went. No one told me if or when they would be back. And when you're young like that, you blame a lot of stuff on yourself because you don't know any better. And so when they just disappeared, it was really hard for me. And I've grown up just kind of longing for that love and like my siblings back, but with the deep understanding that I probably won't ever get that again. And it's just weird, man. Like, for some odd reason, it just like hurts me really deeply. And like, it's no one's fault. It was just the circumstance. And I don't blame myself anymore because I've asked and I've gotten answers to a lot of questions, and I know it's not my fault. Obviously, I was just a kid. I was just a product of that environment, but I'm still like healing those wounds. And so as people pass away in my family, and specifically that side, with my grandpa's passing and then going to that funeral and having that entire side of the family there and finding out that a lot of them are pretty close, not to each other, but like close in distance. And then I think about the fact that like I could be walking through the grocery store having seen these people multiple times and I wouldn't have known that we were connected in any way. And that shit's crazy. It's the idea of like standing in front of your blood related aunt and she looks at you and says nothing and walks away. Like you guys are strangers, because we are. But it's that lack of like desire to even know me that hurts more, you know? Like at this point, I don't give a fuck if we really have a relationship. But I've really been alive for 24 years and you have never, ever, ever put the effort in to know me. And then you're gonna like act entitled. I don't know. It's... And I'm sure, you know, there's three sides to every story. This is just my side of what I've experienced. But that's a hurdle that I'm still learning to jump over. And it's extra interesting when that is your family dynamic and then you get into a relationship where the family dynamic is seemingly really, really good. Which has been another interesting thing happening in my life. Spending the holidays with my partner's family. Was a very eye-opening experience for me. I'm learning a lot about, from them, learning a lot about how to properly love family. Or how to at least love your family in a better way than I've known. Everything down to the little shit, man. Like, my partner's brother and sister, they're so... Even though, like, I'm not saying that they talk every day. I'm sure they don't. But they love each other so deeply and you can feel it. Like, his parents are so invested in their kids and show up to everything and support everything. And they have meaningful conversation all the time. Which is something so small, but it allows for such close connection. And, like, they're just so willing to share their wisdom and experiences and... They're happy for their kids even when it's not something that they align with. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic in their family that is full of love and full of support and full of care. And so being able to become as, you know, as little or as big of a part of their family as I am. It's been such a lovely experience and it's been a really big bright light in my life because truthfully, holy fuck, didn't think I'd get that emotional over this, but it's kind of healing that part of like the abandonment. Like I feel like I have a place even though I'm not a part of their family. I don't know. It's fucking weird. And lovely, fucking weird in the best way. And I'm just like so grateful for them and having to like being able to walk into their life and just like have them be so open arms and so loving has been such a cool experience. Yeah, it's been cool. And it makes me love him even more because I see what he's a byproduct of. Like, I don't know, love is just like rooted in their core and it's cool to see. So that's that. What else? Gotta think. Well, I moved from my other apartment. I moved in here to where I am right now with my partner, and that's really cool. So I'm more local now to the stuff that I do. Like I get to walk to work, which is so cool. You don't often get that opportunity in a smaller town to like walk to work, which sounds weird, but like small town in the sense that everything is like drivable, but it's drivable, right? Like you kind of have to drive to go to the grocery store because things are kind of spread out. But like, we live so close to downtown, I can just walk, which is so dope. And yeah, I just love that. That makes my life so easy, and it makes me appreciate too, like, little things. Oh my god, I'm so tired. I don't know. I'm almost 24. That is mind-boggling. I feel like I'm 12. I feel like a way too responsible 12-year-old. I guess that's good, though. Because age really is all just like a mental thing. And I think aging is such a blessing. Like, people complain about aging. I think it's such a blessing. I got to live another year on the earth as a conscious being, creating relationships and having experiences. And that is such a blessing. I'm 1 year wiser. 24 years wise. This doesn't sound like a lot, but let me tell you. You can fit a lot of shit in this suitcase called life, man. Oh, I just got back from California too. I went and visited my cousin. Another thing that made me really grateful for where I live. I used to like really idolize California, and there was not really a point in my life up until the last year that I didn't crave to move to California. And when I was there this time, it kind of opened my eyes a lot about ways of living. Because even in the Bay where I was at, there's a hustle and bustle. You know, everybody's got somewhere to be. It's a fast-paced living. And it made me realize how much I appreciate slow living. Just being, having moments to just sit and listen to birds or to cars or to people, to kids playing in a park. It's so necessary for the human brain. Like, we're not meant to absorb as much information as we do all the time. And in those big cities, it's hard to turn off. You don't get very many moments of like peace and quiet because there's always something happening. And that can be good, but it can also be a lot. And it just made me love where I live so much and the people I surround myself with so much, because you also see the difference in mindset too. And here where I'm at, it's really cool because people have dreams and they've got big goals and they aspire to be things, but they do it in a way that's more sustainable and more fun. It's not just, I'm grinding 24/7 and I'm gonna become a millionaire and this and that, and I gotta make it and this and that. Nah, it's like, yo, you wanna go make some art? Fuck yeah. Sick. What kind of beer? Fucking, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's so laxed. And I will forever love that, man. I'm a PNW girly till I die. You can take the girl out of the PNW, but you can't take the PNW out of the girl. Oh, man. So funny. Oh, I did this shoot with Rainier, too. Man, like, go to their Instagram, their bottle campaign, you'll see my face. So that's really cool. The EP was pretty successful, which is really cool. I'm working on an album, which is really cool. I'm working on a book, which is really cool. I can't complain. Life is really beautiful, although it's been hard the last month, life is really beautiful. And I'm grateful. And if you're going through it, that's okay. This too shall pass, man. I'm not a very religious person by any means, but if there were two things that kept running through my brain through the month of March, it was, this too shall pass, and God gives you what you can handle. Because you would not be thrown something that you cannot handle. I fully believe that. And what's interesting about that is things you get thrown, a lot of the times they'll feel harder every time. But it's because you've grown from everyone prior. And so you're going to be given something that's maybe a little bit more difficult to stretch you and make you uncomfortable so that you can grow. And that's how I felt about the month of March. It pushed me and stretched me in so many ways and tried to find a weak point to break. And I'm proud of myself because I didn't. Not completely. I cried a little bit and I snapped every now and then, but I did not break at all. I'm good. Just me just trying to convince myself that I'm okay. Oh, I don't know, but I'm happy and I'm doing well. And although this episode was not poetic or long, it is just a small update in very brief words of the last year and where I've been and how I'm doing. Again, for me, not for you. For my future children, not for you. But yeah, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, I love you and I hope you're doing well. And I'm always here for you, even if I don't know you. You can always reach out to me on the socials. And I'll give you the best wisdom I can. But yeah, I'm gonna start celebrating my birthday now. So I'm gonna get ready for the show I have tonight and go say hi to my niece and nephew. I think I want to do that because I refuse to be an absent family member. I refuse to make anyone feel in the slightest the shit that I have felt and feel in that regard. So, I'm always here for you. I love you. You're amazing and beautiful, and have a great day. Okay, bye.